if there is an anti-Semitism which is not predicated at all on any of these rational explanations which we can see it, a goy, a non-Jew hates a Jew for reasons which we are going to discuss later on, but not because we oppress them, God forbid. Wherever the Jews come, they only bring economic blessing to the country, not economic oppression, God forbid. Before we go into other parts of our discussion, I must also bring a very popular, but very extreme view, a very extreme religious view. And this is what is called the extreme religious opinion propounded by the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe, basing his view upon a statement in the Gemara, he says, when the Jews were sent into exile, Hashem made with the Jewish people how they should promise and should make an oath to him. And one of the oaths which the Jews had to swear, they will not leave exile before the time has arrived. And since the Zionistic movement, as you know, the Satmar was extremely anti-Zionist, and he said all the calamities, all the sufferings came only as a result, and even the Holocaust. Since the Jews went against this oath, Hashem said, you mustn't leave the exile, you mustn't agitate, you should leave the exile, you mustn't fight the nations. And the Jews in this century fought the nations, the British Empire, the British Commonwealth, and so on, and tried to establish the state of Israel. And this is what the Satmar Rebbe, of course, is based everything upon Chazal. So because of this transgression against this oath, the Jews swore to Hashem, we will not expedite of going, leaving the exile before the time. This is the reason for the Holocaust. Again, everybody say, I cannot dispute, because he was a great tzaddik, a great gaon, a great tamchochem, the Satmar Rebbe. But of course, 99% of the sages of tzaddikim did not accept this explanation, for the simple reason, is this the most heinous avera? But the Zohar Talmud of Yad, you know, we didn't bring about the Holocaust. Yes, for such a thing, maybe they should be punished, should not be punished. It's a whole discussion which we're not going to it right now. But see, a Holocaust, such horrendous sufferings, 6 million innocent Jews, over 1 million Jewish children, should be punished for such a avera, even suppose it's a big avera, a great transgression. But thus is this midah keneged midah, for this transgression, such retribution, over 1 million innocent Jewish children, 6 million Jews, avoid the Zohar in the town of Elinovi, but only 6,000 Jews who did not worship avoid the Zohar. Millions of Jews did worship avoid the Zohar, idol worship. Then there was no Holocaust. Only in our time does it make any sense. Result of these very difficult contradictions, religious, theological, philosophical contradictions, the belief in one God, an omnipotent God, a compassionate God, and yet all these most horrendous atrocities, how can we reconcile? So some people came back from Auschwitz, and again I can testify, all these explanations, all these things only happened after Auschwitz, and some people needed crutches, excuses, justifications. So some people said, as this merchant in Lower East Side on Orchard Street, after Auschwitz I cannot believe there is no God. Some people resorted in order how to reconcile. Again, we are going to discuss, is it truly the true belief in this explanation, there is no God, only rather use it as a crutch or a justification for their own ways, what they want, how they want to lead their life. But anyway, some people say atheism is the answer to all these questions. Simply, we cannot ask where was God, because whom do you call? There is no God. Whom can you question? Whom do you ask a contradiction? Where is your compassion with all these events? There is nobody you can question. They accept a secularistic, a scientific explanation for the world. There's no God, consequently there's nobody whom we can question. As we said, the name of Buber, the eclipse of God, the whole picture of God, let's take out from the whole theology, whole dictionary of mankind, and just might makes right. Hitler was more powerful, and we cannot question, because there's nobody whom we can question. Some people could not go so far, because that's how they were brought up, with the idea, with the belief in God, and the intuition within them. So then they came to a different conclusion. Again, also predicated on, based upon our sages, there's such a type of atheism which we call less din, less dying. There's no judge, there's no judgment. God indeed did create the world, but God never got involved with the world. God is up in the stratosphere. He's not at all involved with this world. So whoever is mighty can do whatever he wants. Pharaoh can do whatever he wanted. A Hitler can do whatever he wanted. But his God, although he's omnipotent, but he couldn't care less what goes on in this world. This is what we call in philosophy, this deistic philosophy. Deism means there is a God, but not a personal God. Not a God who is interested in the face of man. He couldn't care less. Just like, for example, we don't care what goes on in the colony of ants in the ground. They fight, they eat each other up. To be care, I'll be concerned about that. God is also the same way, he's up in the seventh heaven. He simply does not know, does not care. Not he cannot know, of course he can know, but simply is below his dignity. And this is what we call this less din, less dying. You can do whatever you want, might makes right, and you can kill, you can steal as long as you're not be caught. There's nobody to whom we have to give an account. So again, who can be crushing, how can be crushing God? God is not at all involved in this world. Then there's a third type of, again, books or people who turned to this type of explanation. How can we reconcile all this tremendous thing that happened in Auschwitz with God? And so this is the third view or theory. Hashem granted man freedom of choice. Everybody can do whatever he wants. Of course, God can take away the freedom of choice. But that's how Hashem made the world. He granted every person whatever he wants he can do. So consequently, he granted the freedom of choice to Pharaoh. He can throw Jewish children in the Nile. He granted the freedom of choice to Hitler. He can throw Jewish children in the gas chamber. God does not, he cannot. Hashem simply granted a person freedom of choice after the person actually has to reap the results of his choice. Hitler will be punished. But in this world, Hashem doesn't interfere, because Hashem endowed them with this freedom of choice, freedom of selection. He can do whatever he wants. Again, can we accept, can a person be satisfied with such explanation? How about we are just about to celebrate Purim? Purim is what? When Ahasuerus and Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And there indeed the Torah says it was for transgression and it was for sins. Yet the Jews prayed to Hashem, cried out to Hashem, help us. And Hashem stopped Haman miraculously. And Hashem stopped Ahasuerus also. The Yidden cried out to Hashem, the 6 million Jews. Keli, Keli, Lama Zaftoni. God Almighty, why did you forsake us? In Koil Velen Oile, because nobody remember when Yitzchak was about to be slaughtered. A Malach came to Abraham and he says, Al Tishlach Yot Chalanar, don't touch the child, don't kill him. 6 million Jews also cried to the Akish Baruch Hu, and no angel came forth and says, Al Tishlach Yot Chalanar. A million Jewish children, nobody stopped. Hashem granted a freedom of choice. Hashem granted freedom of choice also to Ahasuerus. Hashem also granted freedom of choice to Haman, to Paroi. When Abraham wanted to slaughter his own son for the sake of Kish Baruch Hu, the Malach said, Tishlach Yot Chalanar. And we did not hear that. The Jews cried out to Kish Baruch Hu. Moshe, when we saw the suffering of the Jewish people, remember the beginning of Shemois. How Moshe would protested to Hashem, Lama Hareso Lama Zeh, God Almighty, why did you do evil? Why did you bring about this suffering to Jewish people? Nobody asked this question about the 6 million Jews when we were crying in Auschwitz. We did not hear such a cry. Lo Moreso. Why? Hashem grants freedom of choice. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu ask? Why? Pharaoh had the freedom of choice. Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew, Moses knew, Hashem grants a person freedom of choice. When this person brings about atrocities, Hashem can take away from him the freedom of choice and stop Pharaoh from killing. Why did Akish Baruch Hu, where was a Jew who should love, or why was Moshe Rabbeinu? Lama res, lama ze. Why did you do so much evil for the Jewish people in our times? We do not hear one voice. Abraham and his son, Akish Baruch Hu, is about to destroy. Stomva Moira. Abraham and he protested. It says, Hashoifet Kolor, the judge of the whole world, Leasi Mishpat, you know, to act justly. We do not hear such a protest from anybody. So where was God? What's the explanation? Rebbeisai, I was in Auschwitz as a child. I was in the gas chamber. More of the handfuls of children. I was in the clutches of Mengele. And everybody knows, who knows Mengele, what he did, which we'll discuss next week. Anybody came out alive from the clutches of Mengele is not less of a miracle than the Nielo came out from the lion's den. So I can tell you with utmost of conviction, where was God? God was with me. If I'm here today and I can speak, I am the living testimony. Where was God? God was with me. And Mr. Shem, this we are going to discuss next week. Week afterwards, God was with the Jews in Auschwitz. Those who did survive infinitely more than with you Jews who were living here in the United States or in England and Australia. We saw more miracles, more Hashgacha Pratis, divine providences, the hand of God. Not one person could come out alive from Auschwitz without the help of God. Of course, there is the question, if God helped us, why didn't he help those 6 million Jews? Again, Mr. Shem, the next week and 2 weeks from now, we also discuss this question as well. But the question, where was God? He was with me. As you know, our sages tell us, isn't a thing which is not lacking middle of Mitzvah Baraisa, isn't a thing which is not at least hinted in the Torah. Since the Torah is the blueprint of creation, no event, no occurrence, no happening in the world can occur unless it has its genesis, its origin, its source in the Torah. Everything has to be recorded in the Torah, and because it's in the Torah, that's why it can happen. Really, the Holocaust, this monstrous tragedy, read this record in the Torah. The day when we came to Auschwitz, it was around 11 o'clock in the morning. We did not see the sky. The entire sky was pitch black. In Auschwitz, there were 6 gas chambers. A 6 crematorium. Let me describe just briefly how the crematorium looked. The building itself was approximately 7 meters tall. 7 meters should be approximately 14, 15 feet tall. So this is the building, 7 meters. Inside the basement where the ovens where the Jews were burned was another 4, 5 sometimes 6 meters deep in the ground, protruding above the chimney, above the building of the crematoria, was a chimney also 7 meters, because the stench of the human ashes was so tremendous, mamish people would just not be able to, they would suffocate from this tremendous stench. So therefore they made this huge, huge chimneys. The smoke should be up a few 50 meters above that the people would breathe. So otherwise simply the stench was unbearable. So when we arrived, we saw the crematorium from a distance approximately 200 meters, and billowing from the chimneys, we did not see only smoke, but fire beyond. Can you imagine that the fire was down in the basement, 5 meters deep. The building itself was another 7 meters deep high, and above that, the chimney. And not smoke came out from the chimney, not fire came out, not smoke came out from the chimney, but fire. The entire sky was pitch black, for the smoke covering the entire area, how far we could see over Auschwitz. These were the crematorium, the gas chambers, which over 6 million Jews, innocent Jews, gave up their soul, the Neshamas, expired with the smoke and the fire. Where is this hinted? Merumes alluded in the Torah. As I said, there isn't ever anything. For example, when once previously we discussed the Gulf War, which will happen before Mashiach comes. If this also hinted in the Torah, there isn't anything which is not hinted in the Torah. Where do we find this suffering, this calamity, this disaster in the Torah? Remember Abraham, Hashem made with Abraham a covenant that he chooses his offspring, his descendants as the chosen people. This will become the eternal people of God, the chosen people. And this is what we call the Bris Ben Absalom, the covenant which Hashem made with Abraham. Then Hashem showed for Abraham everything what will happen to Jewish people until the coming of Mashiach, of Messiah, and afterwards also. Everything what will transpire, everything what happened to Jewish people. In the Bris Ben Absalom is the blueprint of the entire history of the Jewish people in the long, long night of suffering, but also afterwards the salvation and redemption in the Messianic era. So we find that the Hashem made the covenant with Abraham. And he told him that you people, your descendants, your offspring will become the chosen people. Everything what will happen to them. Then it says, and the sun was about to set. A deep slumber fell upon Abraham. A great terror, a great fear, and a great darkness fell upon Abraham. Our sages in the Midrash explain the four words, Emo, fear, Hashecho, darkness, Gidoilo, great, Nefelas, Olaf, falls upon Abraham. This refers to the four exiles with the Jewish people, his descendants will go through. In Babylonia, and in Persia, Greece, and the present Roman exile until Mashiach comes. Then it says, Vayomel Avram, Hashem says to Abraham, Yodeate, I should know surely, Kigeria Zarachob Eres Olhem, the Jews will be scattered throughout the world in a land which doesn't belong to them. And then it says, Gamasagoi, and David is going, eventually going to take out the Jews from exile, and all those nations which brought about all this suffering to them, I will punish them. And then it says, Vayishemesh bo, the sun set, Valotahoyo, and a deep, deep darkness was around Abraham. And what does Abraham suddenly, what does he see? The sun or ocean. The boy said, what's the English translation of sun or ocean? And suddenly Abraham beholds sun or ocean, a smoky furnace, the lapid age, a blazing fire. Our sages tell us, here Hashem indicated, showed to Abraham the suffering of the Jewish people. In what terms? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that did God show the suffering of the Jewish people before Mashiach comes? A smoking furnace. What does this smoking furnace symbolize? What does it remind you? The smoking furnace which I saw in Auschwitz. A smoking furnace. Lapid Eish, a burning, blazing fire. And this furnace in which 6 million Jews were burned, and this fire which completely destroyed 6 million innocent, holy Jewish bodies. This is the smoking furnace and the fiery, blazing fire. And this is what our sages over 2,000 years ago interpreted. This will befall the Jews just before Mashiach comes. If you open up the Talmud says, when the sages discuss the coming of Mashiach, what will be just before the coming, the arrival of Messiah, so they said such tragedies, such calamities, such suffering which is indescribable, and they prayed, let Mashiach come, but it shouldn't be their time, because they did not want to go through all these tragic horrors the Jewish people went through. In other words, all this was foreseen, preordained. This does not at all justify, excuse Hitler. Of course, all these things could have happened at different ways also, which again we are going to discuss in subsequent lectures. But in any case, the blaze, the smoking furnace, and the blazing fire, which we saw in our time, the 6 million Jews perished. You have it here, and the Hashem showed all the exiles, all the sufferings for the Jewish people. It's here being alluded.